Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, please. Verse 1.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner and the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now in verse 15, when it says, or is your eye evil because I am good, most translations say envy. How many have the Bible that says envy? So this man says, are you envious of the other people because I am good? Because I am generous? I'm going to share a while on Satan's master strategy and secret scheme. Satan's master strategy and secret scheme is his number one tool, which is envy. Envy, pride is the soil, but envy is the first of his tools that comes from a heart of pride. Envy is a painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Joined with a great desire to possess that same advantage or quality. Most Christians are snared by envy and have no clue that they are. I'll say it again. A painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, whether they're sinner or saint, by another, joined with a great desire to possess the same advantage or quality. To feel a displeasure and an ill will at the superiority of another person's happiness, success, reputation, or possessions that you may desire. Now, here's where you have to pay attention. Most people get envy and jealousy mixed up. They are two totally different things. That's where the deception comes, because people think they're basically the same. Envy focuses on the person who possesses something. Jealousy focuses on the possessions that you already have. Let me give you an example. My child is in my family, and I'm responsible. We have a relationship. But if another man came and tried to be his father, and he has no right to that, my jealousy will rise for my child. And I will defend my child if it's a righteous jealousy. From that person taking my child away from the family. Just like a husband and a wife, a man is jealous, righteous jealous, if another, a third person comes and becomes involved. So jealousy is you becoming defensive of something or someone you already have. Envy is you seeing someone with a quality that you admire and you may not have, but you want it. You want to be like them to the point that you're willing to do something of malice to get it. Envy has a evilness about it. Covetousness is you desiring a thing that a person may have. And you want that thing. You don't care anything about them. So envy is a thing that most people think they are admire a person, but a lot of times, deep down, you wish they didn't have it, and you wish you had it. And it's very subtle. Very, very subtle. I'm going to repeat it again. Envy focuses on the person who possesses a quality you want, and you wish they didn't have it. It's kind of a resentment thing going on. Jealousy focuses on the possession you already have. Covetousness focuses on the possessions of others. You envy a person who possesses. You're jealous of your own possessions. And you covet the possessions of another. Now, how many see the difference? How many need to see more to know the difference? Let me see your hands. It's very, very important. Because a person who's jealous is totally different from a person who's envious. God is jealous for his people because they're his people. And he would do anything to protect his people. Go to Isaiah, please. Isaiah. Chapter 14. This is why this is so vital and so hidden. Lucifer's main sin, even though pride was the root, envy caused Lucifer to revolt against the plan of God. It was envy that caused Lucifer to be kicked out of heaven. I thought it was pride. Pride was stirred up because Lucifer saw God's controlling the universe, and he didn't like some of the things that God was doing, and he thought that he could take over, because he didn't like the decisions God was making. And you'll see a statement he makes in this. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars or the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Here it is. I will be like the Most High. That's the statement of envy. He wanted to be God. Envy caused the fall. But not only that, after he was kicked out of heaven, he began to envy Adam. He began to envy Eve. To the point, go to Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like who? Satan presented to Eve the initial desire of envy to be like God. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. So his number one tool that he used after he was kicked out was envy. He wanted to plant seeds in her that will make her want to be like God, like he was. How many see this? Envy, his number one tool. So when she succumbs to envy and eats the fruit, Adam sees that she ate the fruit and was going to be like God. So what happened? that spirit of envy came on him, and he wanted to be like that. I've heard people say, well, he ate it because she ate it and he didn't want her to be by herself or whatever. No. It was out of envy. That Adam, he envied Eve. Let's process this. The first sin of murder was initiated by what? Envy. How many have seen the pattern? We can go throughout the entire Bible and see how prevalent it is. And most people have never recognized it. It's almost in every story of the Bible. Why? Because this is number one tool to snare you. Cain envied Abel's offering. This sin of envy got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, and got Cain kicked out of the land. Envy causes you to lose out. It causes you to get kicked out of the will of God for your life, for God's best in your life. And most people don't even know what it is. It is his number one tool. Why? Because that was the tool that he used to try to take over heaven. That was the first tool he used on Eve and Adam. It was the first tool he used on Cain. We don't have time to go through the whole scriptures, but you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. The children of Israel, their unbelief was fed through envy. They came out, got to the place where, man, I wish we could go back to Egypt. Man, them onions. Oh, man, that garlic. Wasn't that garlic good? You eating food from heaven. They were envying the Egyptians' meals. And it caused them to go back in unbelief, not trusting God, not, like the parable, not seeing God as good to them. This is one of the reasons people, believers, envy. They are blind to the fact that God is blessing them, and they're constantly looking at other people wishing, I had what they had, or I was them. And the whole kingdom of Satan is built on the foundation of envy. The entire media is built on envy. Tons of billions of dollars are spent on advertisement. What's the main thrust of advertisement? To look at that person and want what they have or want to be like them. And if you buy this product, you're going to be just like them. Don't preach my sermon. The greatest advertising campaign was what? To be like Mike. To be like Mike. Not to have what he has. To actually be the person. Because if you get these shoes, boy, you're going to be able to dunk that ball. Really. When Lucifer tried to take over heaven and take over God's throne, the scripture says he went about trafficking and trading in heaven, the merchandise. What is that talking about? He was the very first politician. He went about slandering God to win the hearts of the people through flattery. Now, we're talking about a serious person, a person who's envious, but they're developed in flattery and slander. You have a dangerous person. He went about saying, and he won a third of the angels with him. So he was good. You know, you see how beautiful I am. This is Lucifer's spiel. You know, I'm the most beautiful he's ever created. I'm the wisest he's ever created. Now, you know, he's making some decisions I don't care about. But if he was wise, he wouldn't be doing that. I'm wise. If you come with me, I give you a place in my kingdom. I give you this responsibility. You know, he's been around a while. You know, eternity. He might be getting a little. You know, his wisdom may be getting a little off, but my wisdom is fresh. And he went about trafficking or trading or selling. What was he selling? Himself. He was selling himself. A politician puts all the money in ads to sell himself to you so you would do it for a vote. Advertisements are geared to have you basically be something that you're not. You know, in radio, they used to have soap operas. The reason they had soap operas is because that was the number one way of getting ladies who were at home listening to the radio, who were not at work in the 20s and 30s, to listen to their program, and they would put soap commercials on the radio. So the ladies would buy the soap, and dishwashing, and all the laundry. And when TV came out, TV was used primarily as an advertisement tool, not entertainment. They came up with the idea, we need shows that are going to attract people to watch TV, but we're going to put our commercials in there. And so that's why even to this day, the media, television, everything, movies, music, everything is geared toward you spending money. That's why they have all these huge amount of costs for ads for the Super Bowl. It's about money. Unbelievable. And we as believers have to watch that we don't get seduced into wanting to be like someone else through a commercial. This is where it gets exciting. It gets real quiet. Lucifer one a third of the angels to be like him. He caused them to envy God. Just think about it. In a perfect setting, the body of Christ, the church, the number one sin in the church is envy. We are comparing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, he that compares himself amongst himself is not wise. The number one reason a lot of Christians are not operating in the wisdom of God is because they're constantly comparing themselves with other people. Oh, man, I wish I was as spiritual as he was. Man, I wish I had her voice. If I heard her, had her voice, I'd sing. I wish I could preach like him. I wish I could teach like him. That's the reason the book of Corinthians was written. They had so much envy in the church. Paul had to write and say, now listen, everybody has their place in the body. Everybody is important. Stop comparing yourself with other people. Know what God has called you to be. Stay in your lane. Pray for the other people, but do what God wants you to do. And appreciate, even admire, other people's gifts. Other people as a person, as a personality. What I want you to understand is that a lot of high school activity, a lot of college activity is generating envy to the point that is causing so many of them to end their lives because they wish they were like that popular person. I wish I wasn't them. Then I maybe wouldn't be getting bullied. This is a battle we have every single day, not to compare yourself. It is one of the most difficult things to do, is not to look at someone else and wish you were them. There are actually couples who envy the other spouse. You're talking about a strange dynamic. And I've seen it through in ministry where the one of the people are out front more. The church is envying the world the most. This is where I'm headed. This is the snare that the church has her leg in, her foot, her leg, almost her whole body. When you look at TV and you see preachers have their own show, own reality show, to be rich and famous, we got a problem. When you have believers trying to be what the sinner is, instead of it other way around, we got a problem. And parents, please begin to teach this to your children. Well, first deal with it in your own life. There's a story of some demons were trying to torment this bishop. No, torment this monk. And they had used all the tools. And a senior demon came and said, "What are you all doing? We're trying to get this man off course. We've used everything on him." He said, "What are you using?" They told him. He said, "What you're doing is too obvious. It's just too obvious. Listen and learn." And he goes up to, and of course he's in the spirit. You can't see him. He goes up to and whispers in his ear, "Your brother in Alexandria has just been promoted to bishop." And they saw this grimace come on his face because of envy. Turn to James chapter 3. Verse 15, "This wisdom does not descend from above." It's talking about a worldly type envy, wisdom. "But is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there." That's saying a mouthful. Wherever envy is going to generate selfish desires and selfish pursuits. Many people are pursuing different things and many things and not realizing that envy is what's sparking it. And most times you begin to envy, especially in your area of talent or gifting. You know, it's hard for me to envy a cook or a chef because I have no desire to do that. I know growing up, I used to envy other guys who played basketball better than I did, not realizing how much practice they put in. I wished I was them, especially, this is before Christ now, especially if he's on my team and I'm not starting, I don't mind. You know, I don't mind if he just sprained his ankle just a little bit so I can get in there. You know, man, just a little bit. Not a break, just a sprain. Or singers, you know, I've heard of people in opera who are second in line hoping that someone just, you know, get hoarse one day. Oh, can't sing. That's your big opportunity to shine. envy. Why? You desiring hurt to your advantage. Well, how would she lose her job? I tell you what, because I know I'm next in promotion, you know. I don't want to get too close. How do we overcome envy? Go through it. First of all, the key to battling envy is being conscious of the presence of God. Would this please God, this attitude? Number two, this is an asterisk beside this one. Don't compare yourself with others. Always remember, whenever you start comparing yourself, you will automatically begin to compete. A spirit of competition will come on you. Well, I gotta be like them. I gotta be better than them. Number three, be content on who you are and not wishing to be another or desiring to be another. Also, be content in your circumstances that you're in now with hopes of advancing. Well, I guess you can put an asterisk beside that one too, be content, because that's very key. Be compassionate towards others before yourself. Next, concentrate on the scriptures pertaining to envy or not being envious. Next, consider the wicked end that envy brings. I'm going to quickly go over some stories that you could look at and see envy in. I was going to go over some of these, but David's older brother. You remember when David showed up at the Goliath ordeal? His older brother went off on him. It was out of envy because he knew the prophet Samuel had anointed him. Absalom, David's son, he envied his father. Saul envied David. And you know how many times Saul tried to kill David. It's just too many to go over. Let me end with this. There is this story of this eagle who saw a hunter in the woods looking for other eagles. And so he goes in this particular perch and shouts out to him, "I can help you get an eagle." He didn't know where he was. And the hunter said, "Well, I have to go back home because my the feathers on my arrow were stripped off. He said, I'll give you one of my feathers if you take care of that guy over there, another eagle that he didn't like, that he envied because he could fly so good. And the hunter said, well, I just need a few of them. He said, sure. So he threw one out there and he got it, put it in. He said, I need a few more. He said, okay, I'll give you a few more. So he sent some to him. After the hunter got it in his bow, he finally figured out where that bird was. That bird couldn't fly anymore because all his wings were gone. So he shot him. Envy always has a bad ending. Judge your heart. Ask the Spirit of God to investigate if you have envy in your heart and you don't even know it. And guard against it every day. Don't allow it to fester. Let's bow for prayer. Father, right now we just thank you that we'll become more sensitive to Satan's number one weapon. Let us be content with the gifts that you've given us because we know you're a good God and you're good toward us, and we won't question your wisdom in it. We'll just mature and develop what we have, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.